Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WKMZ-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now your host, author, pastor, and teacher, Doug Joseph.
Welcome to part two of a two-part series called Defeating a Troubled Heart. But before we get into this lesson that's going to bless you so much, first we have some great music from our friends Phillips, Craig, and Dean. The title of this track is Lord, Let Your Glory Fall.
You are good, you are good, and your love endures. You are good, you are good, and your love endures. You are good, you are good, and your love endures today. Lord, let your glory fall.
Let your glory fall. Come, Lord. negative peer pressure, and it is a bad thing. But there is positive peer pressure, and it is a good thing. And the Bible teaches us that that is supposed to be operating in the church. If your friend in the church tells you that they're thinking about committing adultery and leaving and divorcing their spouse, as you, as another believer, don't just sit there and say, well, I can't judge them. I can't give them counsel on that. They got to seek their own. No, give them good advice. Tell them that's wrong. Tell them they're ruining their life. Speak up. Amen. We are to impact one another for good. We're to consider, we're to provoke each other. We're to address each other. And part of that involves singing to each other. Amen. When I sing, God hears me. But even more important than that, people around me can hear me. Amen. And so Paul wasn't just telling us something that was for our own good. He is addressing the church, and he wants them to accept their responsibility for one another. I remember many, many times I heard Bishop Billy Cole say something like this: don't just come to church for what you can get. Come to church for what you can give. Amen. We have a duty to each other. Amen. And so he tells them to remind each other of God's goodness through psalms. These are scriptures of praise. Through hymns, these are songs of praise written by the church. Through spiritual songs, these are impromptu responses of praise. Amen. I remember some years back, the Spirit of the Lord was moving here in the sanctuary very strongly, and suddenly I had a bit of a song hit my heart, only it wasn't in English. I wasn't the origin of the tune, and I was not the origin of the words, but I obeyed the Lord, and I, from over here, not even in a microphone, I suddenly sang out in the Spirit very loudly, and I'll never forget it. The melody was so beautiful and the words so intriguing, and it touched other people's hearts. He said, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. God wants us to both encourage one another with praise and to make worship, regular worship, part of our lives. Amen. There's a reason why that I need to be faithful to church when the doors are open. How many times have you had this happen to you, or you've known it happen to somebody? They were tired. They've been spiritually mauled by the world at work. They carry heavy weights in their family, and they're frustrated with situations in their life, and they are just tired of it all. And then they show up to church, and suddenly they start feeling better. I can't even tell you how many times that's happened to me. And I remember my good friend, Brother Ron Moss, would say that often. He would say, I came in here tired, and he said, now I feel ready to go. We need to make regular worship, amen, faithful attendance, part of our lives. Music inspires and changes us. The devil can never grab hold to our lives if we worship God habitually. This is why it is a danger sign whenever someone stops showing up at church. Whenever someone stops being faithful to church, it is a major red flag. Amen. Because now there is something important missing from their lives. And whatever that next bad step of full backsliding is, that next bad step will be so much easier to take because an important barrier in their life has been removed. He goes on to say, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul tells the church of Ephesus to give thanks always and for everything. Folks, that's mind-boggling. That's counterintuitive. When we respond to the Lord out of gratitude, we see our world differently. He went on to say, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So finally, the Bible says that mutual submission helps us to walk wisely. Amen. On our own, We often can't see the truth of the circumstances. But when we lean on the perspective of other Spirit-filled believers, it helps us. We must respectfully and willingly submit to the recommendations of the other believers around us, and they should do likewise to us. How many times have you noticed this? And the scripture even points it out. We are really good at seeing others' flaws, and we are really not good at seeing our own flaws. So we are equipped by God in order to be a bit of a spiritual mirror for each other. You're better at seeing my flaws than I'm at seeing my flaws, and I'm better at seeing your flaws than you are. This is an uncomfortable thing. Some people are determined, I will not submit. I will not submit to that church. I will not submit to those people. I will not submit to that pastor. I will not submit to those elders. I've been told that explicitly in those words. And then watch their life spin out of control. And the real root of the matter is many times we can't submit to each other if we weren't already submitted to God to begin with. Notice in Ephesians 5:21, the command to submit to each other operates on the basis of assuming that the believer is already submitted to Christ. Now, that ought to be something that can be taken for granted as a bedrock principle. But sadly, sometimes believers fail in that foundational concept. How many of y'all have ever had to call tech support and you got annoyed because tech support was asking you what you considered silly stuff? Is the computer plugged in? Why are you going to offend me by asking? It's because they've dealt with people that their computer wasn't plugged in. Cut them some slack. Is the outlet that your computer is plugged into, does it have power? Why would you even ask me that? Because some people have an outlet that has no power. Have you checked yours for power? Okay, I was just, oh, sorry, my outlet has no power. I must have thrown a breaker. Well, that wouldn't be your computer's fault. Oh, yeah, you're right. Sometimes that tech support agent has to go back and question foundational basic things. And sometimes really as believers, we ought to check some basic foundational things. And one of them is, are we submitted to God? Amen. And so submission to other believers, that's kind of out of the question if the basis for that is not even present, because we're not even submitted to God. When I ponder all of the heartache and hell on earth and nightmarish suffering that Joseph lived through, I'm going to tell you, I have no doubt in my mind that a core foundational concept that got him through that was that he kept trusting in God, and he kept trusting that God somehow had his best interests at heart, and somehow God was going to bring all this about for good. He was able to face all manner of just seemingly endless nightmares because way back in his youth, he had been given this dream, and he's holding on to this belief that God is for me. In fact, one of the most effective lies of the devil is to convince you that God is not for you, that God doesn't love you, that he doesn't have your best interest at heart, that he doesn't care about you. And why would you want to live for him if he doesn't even care about you? That is a lie from the pit. God loves you. He loves me. He cares about you. He cares about me. I want to take your mind back to that video I showed. That cat, the attack cat, did not believe that that employee of that shelter had his best interest at heart. That cat said, I don't know you. I don't trust you. I don't like you. I don't think what you're doing is for my own good. And I'm going to fight you until I can claw the life out of you. And he proceeded to do just that. That's how some believers are with the Lord. They don't trust God. They don't know God. They don't trust God, so they fight him instead of trusting him. Years ago, I had a man who had experience as a lifeguard. He said, and I've also been told the same by others who've been trained in emergency services, that if you are ever trying to rescue a drowning person, you have to be given special training, because when you approach the drowning person to rescue them, they begin to fight and attack the person who is trying to save them. And if you're not careful, they will drown themselves and you. And this is how some people are. God is trying to help us, but if we're not careful, we will fight him. And God has sent a host of believers in our life to help us. And if we're not careful, we'll fight them too. Many years ago, I heard Brother Lee Stone King teach this, and others I've heard teach this, that hurting people hurt people. You know, I've actually had some people who were hurting people who were hurting people who argued that that wasn't true. They are hurt, and they're hurting people in the midst of their hurt while arguing with me that it's not true that hurting people hurt people. All I could do was just say, sometimes there ain't much else you can say. And so if someone is struggling with staying submitted to God, it may be due to a lack of understanding that God's ways and thoughts are vastly, infinitely superior to ours, or a lack of trusting that God has our best interests at heart. So I want to go back, and I want to read not only for you the Old Testament scripture that I read at the start, but I want to read another Old Testament scripture, Isaiah 55. The Lord says this, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." In other words, I got my own ideas of what I think is the best plan going forward. And God has a better plan. And I need to be careful not to think and imagine that just because his plan is not my plan, that his plan is not good and my plan is good. Wow, that's kind of a core component of humanism. Elevating my opinion above God's opinion? Elevating my plan above God's plan? He says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts." Remember what I said about how that God has our best interests at heart, but he also has to have some other interests in mind also. We may be kind of rare because we still sleep on a waterbed. I don't know. Are we alone there? Anybody else still sleep on a waterbed? I see another hand. I feel like that preacher during the altar call. I see that hand. For years before my mama died, my mama still slept on a waterbed. But my mama had some pets in the house, including a cat. Y'all ever seen a cat make the biscuits? How many of y'all have a cat? How many of y'all know a cat or know someone who has a cat? Okay. Y'all know what I mean when I say make the biscuits? Yeah. You can have a cat that you adopted, that you took that cat in when that cat was newly born. And you've raised that cat without being around any other cats. That cat has never had a mama teach it how to bathe itself. And yet God put instinctively in that cat how to bathe itself. That cat has never had a mama teach it to make the biscuits. But that cat instinctively. And I don't know what the deal is with going in a circle. What is it? So this is the routine. First, they come up. They check out the situation. Make sure it's safe. Are you okay with me getting in your lap right now? Or on top of your laptop, or getting in the face of whatever you're doing right now. Got the okay, got the green light, jump up, make the biscuits. Don't bother me right now, I'm making the biscuits. I'm close, but first, I gotta go in a circle a couple of times. All right, now I'm gonna lay down. Y'all know what happens when the cat makes the biscuits? Sometimes the claws come out. Y'all ever had the cat make the biscuits where the cat is clawing your leg while they're making it? Whenever the cat does that to me, I'm like, hey! And the cat's like, oh, so sorry. I forgot that was a living part of you. Anybody want to take any guesses what happens? If you let the cat make the biscuits on a waterbed, I'll tell you this, you get little spring hole leaks, water's everywhere. Ask my mama how she knows. So that cat has a list of interests that are related to it. And mama loves that cat, and she's keeping all that cat's best interests at heart. But mama also has other interests, which include not having leaks in the waterbed. So mama has to balance a variety of other interests together with the cat's best interests. And in keeping all these best interests at heart, mama arrives at some policies and some rules. And one of them is, you can't be on this waterbed. Now, Adina blessed us with this Winston cat. It was her cat, and then she headed off and couldn't take the cat with her. And so now Winston is here with us. He's beautiful. He's handsome. I guess if it's a boy cat, you're not supposed to say beautiful. You're supposed to say handsome. His eyes are so light blue, they're almost white. In fact, they're kind of like silver. He's a beautiful cat, handsome as can be. And he normally tries to respect our rules pretty much. But if he needs water in that thing or he needs food in that thing, he will break a rule and get up on the waterbed. Now, mind you, it's not because he has anything against the waterbed. It's because the people who provide the food are in that waterbed. So he has to get up there to get their attention. And so sometimes I'll be laying there under the covers and I'll feel that thwomp when the cat lands in. I'll look up, cat's in the waterbed. So my foot's under the cover and I start kicking from under the cover, trying to get that cat off of that bed. Yeah, I'm not kicking the cat. I'm just kicking the covers in front of where the cat is. I don't want y'all to misunderstand. I'm not a cat kicker. On one occasion, and Winston is a house cat. He just always has been. But he fancies himself as an outdoor cat. So he gets by the door and he tries to get out. Well, if he gets out, he's going to get in fights with other cats. He's going to get fleas. He's going to get ticks. And then when he comes back in, he's going to bring all that fleas and ticks back in the house. And we're not interested in having a cat that divides his time between outdoors and indoors. Winston doesn't understand that. Our policies on that are above his mindset. He doesn't get our logic about the waterbed, about not going out. When he hears the door, when he hears the key in the door, he comes running and he crouches down in front of the door. And as soon as the door opens, he tries to dart out past us to get outside. And every now and then he succeeds. And when he gets outside, then he doesn't know what to do. A lot of times he'll get out there and he'll be like, it's cold. It's cold out here. He's just sitting there like, So we pick him up, bring him back in. But on one occasion, because he likes to sit in the window and the other cats, neighborhood cats, that my wife cares for and feeds. You know, the Bible says that God calls all the stars by names. My wife knows the names of all the neighborhood cats. And she's not making names up. She's calling them by the names the neighbor calls them by. I'm like, how did you even learn what that neighbor calls that cat? She knows all their names. But he's in the window, and he's just looking down on these lowly outdoor cats. Part of him is wishing he could be out there with them. So one day I thought, I'm going to take him outside. I'm going to give him a chance to make friends with another cat. So I picked him up, I opened the door, I carried him outside, and I set him down. At first, I kind of showed him the other cat without setting him down. Then I set him down way over here and give him a chance to either approach or not. But I no sooner got him out of there and set him down, those two cats started. I was like, oh my goodness, they're not going to make friends. They're going to fight. So I'm scrambling. Because I don't want to get clawed, but I'm also trying to prevent the fight. And before I even know what's going on, they're close, and then they're closer, and then I'm almost kind of panicked, and then next thing you know, it's the, and they're going at it. And I'm going to tell y'all, I'm not a cat kicker, but I kicked the neighbor's cat that day. I didn't want to do it, but I had to break up that fight. So I broke, that cat finally forgave me. For a long time, he was like, I don't know about that guy. So I got that other cat out of there, and I got Winston, I got him back inside. So if you as the owner of the pet have rules and policies that have the cat's best interest at heart, but that cat can't understand your rules, how much more possible is it that God has some rules for us that he couldn't even explain it to us if he was willing to try, because his thoughts, see, he understands every possible future. He understands every ramification. He understands every ripple effect. He sees what might be if this is allowed and what will be if that is allowed. And he knowing all of that makes decisions that sometimes we don't understand and find chafing. But I'll tell you this, you let a fight break out between some demon and you, and he's gonna kick that demon the way I kicked that cat. You may not understand whether he's for you, but I promise you, he is for you. The Lord's ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above ours, but they are above ours by a degree that is infinitely higher than my thoughts are above my pet cat's thoughts. And regarding the question, does God have my best interest at heart? Jeremiah 29:11 tells us this. One translation says it this way. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And so, as the old saying goes, folks, that's from the horse's mouth. That's from the highest authority in the universe. God Almighty said, I am for you. And sometimes him telling us that is like me trying to tell Winston, Winston, I'm on your side. I know you feel like the rule is chafing against you, but I'm on your side. And so I want to encourage you, don't get offended at God. He is on our side. So here's the question. Knowing that he's on your side, are you trusting in that? And are you living in submission to that? Knowing that living in submission to that meant that Joseph had to go through some nightmare and heartache in order so that he could be moved into a position to save the lives of many, many thousands and hundreds of thousands of people. God saved an enormous number of people from early demise in famine because he allowed Joseph to go through some suffering to get Joseph chocked into a position where he needed to be. Could it be that every single bit of suffering that God allows us to go through is because of a higher purpose that we don't understand? Is that possible? Seek the face of the Lord tonight and pledge to him your submission. And even if you've already done this before, even if you've already submitted before, there's nothing wrong with renewing your pledge of submission and just letting the Lord know in prayer and worship, Lord, I trust you. I trust you for everything that I'm going through and everything that I've been through. I trust you, Lord, that somehow all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WKMZ-FM.